And good morning, good morning. It is 10:10 Eastern this morning, and we are eager to get started for Coffee with the Coder, episode 37. We're so delighted that you have joined us today. Paula, were you able to unmute yet?
I was. I didn't hear you, what you said to dial, but it was like, oh, do I remember what that is?
Thank you. Well, so everyone has been dialing in, and I'm so excited to see the list. Let me just jump right in. This is an email that came to Coffee with the Coder, and for those of you who don't know how to do that, if you'll go over to the web, to aq-iq.com, and look at the bar that says questions. There's a blue and white bar. The words are white. The bar is blue. Hit questions, and there's a drop down under that that's Coffee with the Coder. So that's how you can see all the previous episodes and also how you can submit a question. And that's what Karen did, and Karen's question is about a code G0047. She wonders if anyone is billing that code alone.
Pam, we asked for a little clarification from Karen, and she, you know, basically said this is from a physician who is seeing obese patients, and he or she codes only G0047, and she wonders if that is undercoding. So, in other words, she wonders if the physician should be reporting something in addition. The part of that question that was a little confusing to us is that G0047 is for a PET scan. And so as we started to dig in and try to figure out the answer to her question, we realized that likely the code that she was speaking of, and this is a HCPCS code, this is from a physician office, it's G0447. Which is for face-to-face behavioral counseling of an obese patient, 15 minutes. The second option, of course, to that would be G0473, which is for 30 minutes of group counseling for obesity. But the one for the individual patient would be the G0447. So basically, this code is typically used for Medicare only. Commercial payers typically use CPT codes rather than the HCPCS G codes. Those G codes were created specifically for Medicare. And obesity counseling is typically not separately reportable with another encounter or visit on the same day. But for services that contain HCPCS codes G0447 with another encounter and visit on the same day, CMS says that they're going to deny it. However, if modifier 59 is allowed, and you can report an evaluation and management code with G0447 on the same day if the conditions are met to report the modifier. So this intensive behavioral therapy is considered included in the payment allowance for other encounters or services on the same date of service unless it's appropriate to report that modifier 59. There are a few exceptions to this. It is not bundled into the IPPE claims, the initial preventive physical examinations. It is not included, as I said, on those claims where it's appropriate to report modifier 59 for distinct procedural service along with the E&M. And it is excluded on claims that have a bill type on the UB04 of 77X, which are the preventive care services. And those 77X that includes services that are diabetes self-management training and medical nutrition therapy services. So those are excluded. The other important thing to note is the payment rate for G0447 is in the range of about $25. So if it's not appropriate to list the G0447 with an E&M on the same day, you know, it may be better to report the E&M than the 0447, depending on the level of service and what was performed with the patient. So that's just a little bit of information about that code. So thank you, Pam. You got another question for us?
I do, and this one comes from a hospital. It's Mary. Mary's question, oh, let's see, where's Mary from? Mary's from Georgia, and I didn't capture the date from that last caller, so I apologize for that. Anyway, so Mary's question says, if the doctor does, and this is CPT code 36246 for diagnostic purposes, and then finds a blockage and has to do an intervention, would it still be bundled if you're using the same puncture site, same session to do the intervention? She says, I've researched, and it looks like it would be, but I'd really like to get another opinion.
Okay, so yeah, Mary and I actually corresponded back and forth about this one, and yes, it is correct. Generally, 36246, in this case, it's being used for the selective catheter placement in the lower extremity. It may not be reported with 37225, which is the revascularization procedure when it's performed on the femoral popliteal arteries. That also is going to include any angioplasty in the same vessel in the same territory per leg. So when you do the revascularization, you're not going to also report the selective catheter placement because it's in there. So catheter placement is bundled into the revascularization procedure. However, CPT does describe in some instances that diagnostic angiography may be separately coded if certain conditions are met. And number one is that there was significant time since the previous diagnostic study. Number two, interval change in clinical status, suggesting that pathology may have changed or progressed. Number three is that there's a change in a vessel status during the procedure requiring a formal diagnostic angiography to diagnose the complication. Or four, there's a previous diagnostic study that did not adequately define the pathology, which causes the physician to have a difficulty making that clinical decision about performing the intervention. So from that perspective, if any one of those four fit, then you could also report the angiography, which would be, and let me give you a little more information. If a diagnostic angiography is performed in the same time the decision to treat is made, then the treatment is also performed. A catheterization code for the diagnostic angiogram may be additionally reported if the diagnostic study was performed from a puncture or a vessel access that was different from that used to perform the intervention. So that said, you can report them both, but you need it going into a different vessel. Modifier 59 should be added to the codes, the cath and the supervision and interpretation codes in this instance. However, if the diagnostic angiography was performed in the same vessel access as the intervention, the vessel access is included. In this case, the catheterization code would not be reported separately, but the radiologic supervision interpretation code for the diagnostic study would be reported separately. So coding these types of procedures is one of the most difficult, I'd say, when you're doing those interventional procedures. And the way that they changed the revascularization codes in the last few years has been, you know, it made it more clear, but again, there's still a lot of confusion about it as well. So in most cases, they are not reported together.
Pam? Thank you. Yes, now I'm going to hop over to an anonymous question, and you're certainly welcome to ask your question anonymously, but there's this thing we do. It's called mugging. So we have these wonderful cups that have AQIQ and coffee with the coder and this really nice little graphic on there, and those we give away one free every episode. We call that mugging. And if you ask a non-anonymous question, you go into the drawing. So this one is an anonymous question, and it's not in the drawing, but it's a great question anyway. So let me throw this one over to you. It comes from an inpatient rehab. Should I be reporting weakness as a diagnosis? Our physician is documenting this on every patient.
Okay. I love this question because as we audit around the country inpatient rehab facilities, you know, it's very common not to understand the rules between the IRF-PI coding and the UBO4 coding. And then particularly when it's not a freestanding facility, because the freestanding facilities usually get this pretty well. But those that are attached to hospitals and they have the same coders coding for the acute care facility as they are coding for the IRF, there's a little bit of confusion there. But I want to make sure that you understand. Anytime that you report a definitive diagnosis, the symptom is not required. So, and that is true for inpatient rehab facility coding for the IRF-PI or coding for the UBO4. So that said, if it is a symptom of a definitive diagnosis, you shouldn't report it. And oftentimes in the IRF, you know, the coder gets the headset and they go, oh, well, they need that code because it's a rehab diagnosis. And, in fact, the patients coming in for, every patient coming to rehab is weak. That's why they're coming. but there is that underlying reason that caused the weakness, and that's what you're going to report rather than the weakness itself. So thank you for that question.
Awesome. Okay, so another question also comes from inpatient rehab, but this one goes into the drawing. This is Debbie in Tennessee, excuse me. I saw the T in, spoke too fast. Debbie's patient was a thalidomide baby, and as a result has shortened femurs. So the physician throughout the chart says morbid obesity with a BMI of 74. The patient's height is 76 centimeters, and the weight is 43.3 kilograms, which calculates to a BMI of 75. Is the physician accurate in this morbid obesity BMI calculated? And how do I actually code this? And she also sent a copy of the nutritionist note indicating that the patient has extremely short femurs but does not appear obese.
Yeah, so in this patient, you can't really go on height and weight for a BMI, you know, to calculate the BMI on a patient who is not a normal anatomy. So if you have a patient that, you know, they have no legs or they've had an amputated leg, it would be the same situation because the BMI calculation is not going to work. As you see in this case, it looks like the patient is extremely obese, but the nutritionist is saying the patient doesn't appear obese at all. Now, between the conflict between the nutritionist and the physician, that information should be resolved with a query because it looked like that the physician was stating morbid obesity, but the nutritionist was saying, no, the patient doesn't look obese. So there needs to be some clarification from the physician because in this situation, it appears that the patient was not obese. Just know that you can't use those same height and weight calculations to get the BMI when there is the patient isn't normally, you know, a normal height and weight. That said, because they might be missing an appendage.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. Now we're going to see who's going to be the recipient of our mugging for today. I've got the names of the three non-anonymous question askers right here and then stirring them up on the desk. And so let's just see who's going to win today. It's going to be Debbie in Tennessee. So congratulations, Debbie. I'll be reaching out to you to see where to send your mug. Thank you all for joining us and sending in those questions, and give us some more. Now, remember, next Monday, normally we would not have Coffee with Decoder, but we are because of Memorial Day. So we won't be coming to you on Memorial Day. Instead, we're coming next Monday. So episode 38 will take place on Monday the 21st. Same time, same numbers and everything. We hope you'll join us then. Thank you.